This podcast is sponsored by Aurora Packaging Solutions, a global packaging solutions provider leading the transition to a more sustainably packaged future. They specialize in developing packaging and visual communication solutions that reduce the impact on the environment and bring sustainability goals to life. With a focus on partnership and service, they create a custom solution for your business. To learn more, please visit www.ororapackaging.com. Welcome to Sustainable Packaging with Corey Connors. Today's guest is Mr. Todd Klein, the Senior Director of Fabricare Sustainability for Procter & Gamble. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
Really good. Thank you for making some time. We met in San Diego at the Sustainable Brands event where you and some of your team members and some cohorts were talking about some amazing things that we'll get into later in this show. But first, before we get into any of that, I want to talk about your background. How did you get to this point in your career?
Yeah. So my title is Senior Director of Sustainability for our fabric care business. So I focus on our North America fabric care. That is brands that hopefully a lot of the listeners use, like Tide and Gain and Dreft and Downy. I lead our sustainability efforts there. I've been with the company a long time, about 30 years at Procter & Gamble. So I studied chemical engineering at the University of Kentucky, came right out of undergrad into P&G. I've worked across a bunch of different business units while I've been there. I started in healthcare. We used to have a food and beverage business. I worked in coffee for several years and cleaning products. But I was lucky enough to get to go to Europe for about 3.5 years. I was based in Brussels, working on our home care products there, cleaning products, but was doing a lot of work in Geneva. And I happened onto skiing while I was there because Geneva is right outside of Chamonix in the Alps. And I just fell in love with skiing and got on a ski share with a bunch of people I worked with. And one weekend we were delayed to get on the lifts because high wind, the lifts weren't operating yet. And this was back in like 2005, 2006. So just picked up a ski magazine and started reading it. And it talked about the impact of climate and what it could do to skiing, and storms being much worse at high elevations and no snow at all and low elevations. And that's really what started to open my eyes on sustainability further. I'd always been into, you know, water quality and litter and waste in nature and thinking about sustainability. But that's really what started to open up my mind to there's more to it and thinking about climate. And that was also about the time that An Inconvenient Truth came out. And saw that, and just that really, it really lit a spark with me of how do I start to build it into the work that I do, because we reach so many consumers. And when I came back to the U.S., I was working in Swiffer initially, and we did our first life cycle assessment on Swiffer Wet and Wet Jet on understanding how do we reduce impact there. And just what started out as I moved into fabric care as a small part of my job, because I said I wanted to work on sustainability. They said, great, we'd love to have you do something. Every year became a bigger and bigger part until the last few years. I've been lucky enough that I get to focus on it 100%. And I eventually moved from being in the R&D organization to now I lead our both the commercial and technical aspects of our sustainability efforts for the brands.
Oh, that's excellent. And you're exactly right. What we're doing here with things like packaging and laundry and all of these thoughts that we're having will affect everyday life and sporting and leisure activities. And well said, that's a really important way of looking at things. So I agree with you. I'd like to talk about laundry. The panel that you were on was really fascinating and something that I hadn't frankly ever thought of before, but it really opened my eyes to how important it is with the way that we do laundry. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, we're very much a science-based company, and we see life cycle assessment as really the most holistic tool to look at impact. And I expect most of your listeners are somewhat familiar with life cycle assessment. I mentioned it with Swiffer, but it's really looking at the impacts from making the raw materials and packaging materials, like what our suppliers do for the things that we buy, our manufacturing operations, the transport of the product, how the consumers use the products, and then end of life of the product. And as we look at the life cycle of a load of laundry, it surprises a lot of people that almost 70% of the carbon footprint of doing a load of laundry is not the raw materials, it's not the packaging, it's not our manufacturing operations. The biggest driver by far is consumer use. And that's the technical term for it, consumer use. The reality is it's all driven by what temperature we choose. It's the difference in choosing warm, hot, or cold for doing a load of laundry. If someone switches from hot to cold, it reduces the energy of that use phase by 90%. Wow. But if someone switches from warm to cold, it reduces it by 70%. So it's not like warm is even in the middle or warm is good enough to really have low carbon impact loads of laundry. We need people washing on cold. So we were just, as we looked at what are going to be our aspirations for Tide, as a company, we've committed to net zero, and we play a critical role within the company on delivering the net zero commitment. And that really covers us from raw material to retailer as we think about net zero. It doesn't incorporate the consumer use. So in addition to the part that we play in delivering net zero, we took on an additional aspiration for Tide of, we set an ambition of, we want to get 75% of loads in North America to cold by 2030. Not 75% of Tide loads, but 75% of loads in North America. And it doesn't necessarily sound like that would be a huge impact. All right, get people to switch to cold.
Right.
But in US and Canada, we do over 30 billion loads of laundry per year across the two countries. And by getting 75% of them to cold by 2030, we would avoid over 27 million tons of CO2 for the decade into the atmosphere, just by getting people to wash on cold. And 27 million tons, it's a big number. It's hard to dimension exactly what it is and thinking of just the number, but 27 million tons of CO2 is over 10x our total emissions of total Procter & Gamble, or it's the equivalent of powering both New York and San Francisco for an entire year. So it's a huge impact just by switching to cold.
That's incredible. I had no idea the dramatic impact that could happen. How are consumers reacting to your campaign for this change?
Yeah, so it's certainly been a journey. People generally start doing laundry because they learn from someone else, and knowledge gets passed on to them on what's the right way to do laundry. And generally what people are taught is there are some loads that you do on cold. A lot of times it's the things you want to protect the most. You don't want to shrink or fade, jeans or dark colors, things like that. There are some loads that you do on warm, and there's some loads that you do on hot, like sheets and towels, and just the belief that you need hot water to get those clean. And that gets ingrained into all of us as we learn to do laundry. Yep. So what we started in 2021 is we activated our initial campaign. It was Cold Callers, where we used several well-known celebrities to highlight the benefits of washing on cold and just have people think about it when they go to the machine and make that choice. And we certainly talked about you could reduce your carbon footprint, as wash on cold is one of the benefits. But if you wash on cold and you reduce that energy, it can also save you up to $150 per year on your utility bills. And of course, people already intuitively know that it's better for your clothes and helps them last longer. And as much as for our sustainability work, we're very focused on, we want people to switch to cold because it reduces the carbon footprint. What we found so far is the thing that's been most effective to date on helping people make that switch is highlighting, I can save $150 per year on my utility bills. And in reality, that it doesn't matter to the atmosphere why people choose cold as far as motivation. So we've been on this journey of, how do we really just understand the science of behavior change and apply that and bring that to people?
That's excellent. And I agree with you. Sometimes the carrot or the impetus for the reason of change doesn't matter. It's as long as the end result is a positive thing. And the consumers, like myself, when I learned that, I said, my wife runs the machines and I fold them. So I said, hey, do we do it on cold or hot? And she said, oh, cold. We switched a while ago because we save money that way. And I said, oh, great. So we're part of the solution with you.
That's awesome to hear. And I think highlighting what are those advantages is just, that's been important. The other piece that's been important is just reinforcing that I can wash on cold and still get a great clean is yeah. the other piece of it. Because the worst thing that can happen is we convince someone to try cold and then it doesn't come out as clean as they want. So we have to design the product and make sure that they really excel in cold water, but then also help convince people that it will work. And I think one of the great things we've had going is we've worked a lot of partnerships on how do we get the message out there. And one of my favorite ones that we've got to work on to help reinforce the cleaning performance on cold is with the NFL. So in 2021 as well, we actually had half of the NFL switch to doing all of their laundry on cold with Tide. So all the uniforms that are on TV every Thursday night and Sunday and Monday night, washed on cold, their towels, everything. And we were able to activate that with, we had Matt Ryan and television commercial as part of the Cold Colors campaign. We did activations within the NFL cities. And that was a great way to just help frame, we can get NFL clothes clean on cold with the type of dirt and sweat and everything that goes into that. Surely with what you're doing in your home, we can deliver that as well. And I think one of the other exciting things for us is both the teams in the Super Bowl that year were washing on cold, and one of them was the Bengals, and we're based in Cincinnati, so we're very happy with that. But unfortunately, we couldn't pull off the win, but the Rams and the Bengals both that year were washing on cold.
Well, still a win for the environment. Well done. That's really amazing to see that partnership is so successful. You've also partnered with General Electric, and you're working on, or they're working on modifying their equipment to make it so it washes better on cold as well. Is that right?
Yeah, I think we've really been looking at how do we expand the ecosystem of doing a load of laundry and how do we really reach consumers and help them as they make choices. So we partnered with WF on habit change and actually brought in a behavior change institute to help. And they brought us this model that they call their EAST model of how do you make it easy, attractive, social, and timely as you connect with people to apply habit change. As we look particularly at easy and timely, when you're making the switch to cold, obviously the machine plays a key role there. And GE Appliances has been a terrific partner with us on joining in that journey of how do they work to make it simpler and more intuitive for consumers to choose cold. Electrolux and others are also participating in this as well. So I think we've got a great movement there on the washing machine side of how do we make it easy for people to wash on cold. But then also with clothing brands like Hanes Brands has been a terrific partner with us in this journey as well. And consumers will often look at what are the instructions, especially if they buy something new, of how do I care for this? And they build into all of their care labels of wash on cold and into their packaging, wash on cold with Tide, and some of the things like save up to $150 and activations like that to help people make that choice to wash on cold as well. So we know it's such a big challenge we've undertaken that having more people in it with us will be much more effective and make impact sooner than if we try to do it ourselves.
Those are some fantastic partnerships. That's really impressive. Well, Procter & Gamble is an impressive company. When I was listening to your background, I thought, wow, 20 years at this one company sounds like 10 different careers. It sounds these companies that you've worked with or for all under this umbrella sounds like your experience is super vast, is what I'm trying to say. And you've had these really cool interactions with different parts of the business. So that's a great idea.
Yeah, I've been here, it's 30 years now.
Oh, with 30. P&G.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm old, so I've been around a long time. And the fact that I've got to work across different industries and different regions, and now getting to work with all these great partners. I've enjoyed my entire career for sure, but now I'm in my favorite role I've had of the entire time I've been here. So it really has been great. And that's one of the cool things about working here, and I'm sure other large companies as well, is you can move assignments, and it's almost like starting a new career, if you like, and right. But still not have to change your home address.
I love that. Do you still ski?
I do, absolutely. Yeah. We've got a local ski hill here just outside of Cincinnati, and I'm a volunteer ski patroller there just to make sure I get out at least once a week there, and I try to get out west at least once a year and ski as well.
That's great. Well, next time you're in Oregon, come see us, and we'll go up to Mount Hood and try out their locations there that are really great ski hills.
I would absolutely love that. Yeah.
So Procter & Gamble has some big sustainability targets for 2030 and 2040. Can you speak to those a little bit and how the progress is going and how Tide will fit in that?
Yeah. So as a company, we really set up our sustainability program in four key buckets of climate, waste, which is where we group our packaging, water, and nature. Mm-hmm. From a climate standpoint, we've committed to net zero by 2040. I think all the best science says we need the earth to be there by 2050. So one thing I love is our company has stepped up and said, not only will we commit to net zero, but we're going to do it 10 years early to help be a catalyst to change and just bring things forward in the consumer goods industry and do it 10 years early. Within that, you know, 2040 in the consumer goods world is pretty far out. So we also have guardrail commitments that we've set for 2030 as well. So within our operations, we've said we'll be climate neutral for all of our manufacturing operations by 2030 and have 100% of our electricity be renewable electricity. We're lucky enough in North America that we built a wind farm out in Tyler Bluff, Texas in 2017 that already generates more renewable electricity than we use in an entire year. So we're already on the 100% renewable electricity, which is part of the reason our emissions back to the LCA on the operations side, they're not a big driver, especially compared to the consumer use. So that's operations. And then also for scope 3 emissions, we've committed to, as a company, 40% lower CO2 per use for the product. So raw materials and packaging components, I think scope 3 coming in. But for the company to get there, we in Fabric Care have signed up to 50% lower CO2 per use for our raw materials and packaging by 2030. So that's the climate pillar. And then on the packaging front, which I know a lot of your listeners are most engaged with, what we've committed to is 100% of our packaging being recyclable or reusable by 2030, and then also a 50% reduction in virgin resin by 2030. Then, like I mentioned, those are what the company has committed to, but then we also set our additional ambition on Tide of getting to the 75% of loads on coal by 2030. And from a progress standpoint, like on that one, we're now at 57% of loads are on coal in North America. We were at 48% when we made the declaration at the end of 2019. Early 2020, it actually went down a bit as COVID, as the pandemic kept, because people start washing even more loads on warm and hot. But we've recovered from that as we started our activations in 2021 and brought it up to 57%. And we've avoided almost 4 million tons of CO2 into the atmosphere so far since we started the activation.
Wow, that's incredible. Well done. Jeez, this is really exciting. I never thought I'd be so excited about laundry.
it's such a simple little change we can all make. But because we do so much of it, it really adds up.
That's really cool. So I did some research on your website, and you've got some really impressive initiatives, including new solid shampoo bars and working with the Alliance to End Plastic Waste. Can you speak to those, or is that something you're involved with?
Yeah, so I can speak more to what we're doing on the fabric care side, but I think even back to the shampoo bars, what it just points to is we've really integrated sustainability in across the entirety of the company and into the businesses. And I think one of the things we and other companies have done over the last few years that's really helping make progress is it's gone from sustainability efforts and leadership is not just a small corporate group trying to convince everyone to make progress, to now that we have these large commitments, it's driven down into the individual businesses of you're accountable to deliver these. And even within our business, just a couple of examples, things like we switched all of our tubs, the Tide Pods and King Flings come in for Food, Drug, and Mass from we were in opaque PET plastic, which was not curbside recyclable. Mm-hmm. And we've made the move to high-density polyethylene, which is curbside recyclable. And so right. We get the benefits of it's a big step for us on our journey to 100% of the packaging being recyclable. But HDPE also gave us a bit of a reduction in carbon footprint as we make the packaging. And it just lines up well with how we think about the, number one, we want to deliver on the consumer experience. That's an example where the experience didn't change for them from the way the package works, but it certainly helps consumers feel better about, all right, I'm buying something that now I can recycle and it can have a second life. And it also lines up with just our technical strategies of let's make sure what we've got is recyclable and it's easily recyclable materials. We do a lot of focus on HDPE and clear PET and also include high levels of PCR, so recycled material, into the packaging so that there's a healthy recycle stream of we're buying it back and putting it into our packaging as well. So really trying to drive circularity of the plastics that we have out there and make everything we have recycled.
That's it. That's the key. That's the whole issue here. And I think you are a leader in the industry, and I want to thank you and your team for what you're doing.
Well, thank you so much. It's you say team, that is for sure. It's a huge team effort behind it, both all of our team that's working on it, but then also the partnerships we talked about. And I think that's the thing with what we're trying to tackle in the world from a sustainability standpoint is all of us just, it is a team sport and we all need to be working together. How do we progress it?
Yeah, just like the NFL, right? We all got to work together to win this game, which is heal the planet. Yeah, well said. Well, how do people get in touch with you and your team or find out more about B&G?
Yeah, so certainly can follow our progress for Tide Laundry on Instagram or TikTok or go to Tide.com. We also have a lot there, particularly on washing on cold for sure, more information. And then for P&G, it's PG.com or following Procter & Gamble on LinkedIn. We certainly update what we're doing from a sustainability standpoint there as well.
Well, thank you so much, Todd. This has been amazing, and I really appreciate your time and your wisdom. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me to join you.
This episode is sponsored by SpecRite, the first purpose-built platform for specification management. So much has changed when it comes to packaging, and there's a new book to help you stay ahead of the curve, The Evolution of Products and Packaging, written by longtime packaging executive Mr. Matthew Wright. Helps you unpack industry trends and explains how you can use data to drive packaging, innovation, and sustainability. Download your free copy today at specrite.com/book. That's specright.com/book.